Hello, everyone. We have Bob Nichols on the line with us, and he's from Oklahoma. And Bob has an interesting subject that I want to talk to him about. As you know, Iraq's in the news. Unbelievable things happening over there. Looks like another Vietnam, only worse. And Bob Nichols has the story of why it might be worse in the long run. Now, how long have we been using this depleted uranium? In fact, I...
Since really 1943 is the earliest record I have of it, when the fellow named General Leslie Groves, you folks may remember him as the guy who Oppenheimer worked for, the fellow who invented the atom bomb and the H-bomb out there in New Mexico, just west of us here. Same uranium. It's the same stuff.
Now, he had a chance, I think, back in World War II to, putting that in munitions or something, and they turned it down, didn't they?
Absolutely. It's not that it's too dangerous for the enemy, whoever they may be, those enemies of the United States. At that time, it was, of course, World War II. But it was too dangerous for our own troops. And having a uranium bullet or uranium shell or uranium bomb was just too dangerous for our own troops. And that held sway until 1980. And in 1980, somewhere in the Pentagon, years ago, there was some little committee in one of those little rooms. They met and they decided that they would overrule General Groves, the guy who Oppenheimer worked for, who invented the atom bomb. And they would say, nah, it's okay. It's not too dangerous for our troopers. That's what they decided. And from 1980 on, we started making our shells, bombs, 120-millimeter tank shells, cruise missiles with components and ballast.
No. Why did they what's their excuse? It's because it's heavy and it would penetrate armor or something?
You know, they like it because of a couple of reasons. One, it is actually 1.7 times or almost twice as heavy as lead for the same amount. If any of y'all have a pencil that you're looking at or you're on your desk there or in the room where you are, you look at your pencil and it weighs a couple ounces. If it was made out of uranium, it would weigh about twice as much. And because it's so heavy, it just goes right through the enemy's tanks, as they say, like a knife through butter. But of course, tungsten does that too. And so you have to say, well, why is it that they use the dangerous uranium, which is dangerous for our own troops, rather than tungsten? Well, it turns out that through what I like to call an Enron-inspired accounting maneuver on behalf of our government.
Now, I like the title, the way you set that up. Tell me about that.
Catchy there. Isn't that kind of catchy?
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Well, you tell me, you folks out there, what do you think? See, what they did was they took what they called product or waste, stuff they didn't use, from the nuclear weapons laboratories. Now, this is the real deal, folks. This is where they take what they call feedstock uranium and make nuclear weapons out of it. Or they make fuel rods for atomic reactors out of it. And the stuff that's left over, they decided, well, this stuff is just waste. We'll just, although it costs hundreds of billions of dollars to dig it out of the ground and process it, we're just going to write it off as being worth zero. Zip. Nada. Zilch. Nothing. And then when the Pentagon decided to, they used to be called War Department, now they're called Pentagon. When they decided to start using this stuff, they would very obligingly and cheerfully just give it to the weapons manufacturers of bullets, bombs, and shells. So they could actually haul it over to their factory. Sometimes they took it for them, government. And then, lo and behold, they'd make it into a 50 caliber bullet, and the government would buy it back from them. And of course, it's just garbage, you know. It's worth zip. Although it's the heaviest metal in the world, ounce for ounce, although all although all of these things.
Well, I mean, there's probably somebody out there listening, Bob. It's going to say, well, you're talking about uranium, and it isn't going to hurt you unless you eat it, or something like that. But we're really talking about the oxide or something,
well,
right?
You're exactly right. You are exactly right. What we're talking about is not the uranium in the bullet. We're talking about the uranium after the bullet goes through a person or a tank and then hits something hard like the tank or a wall behind the person, and it does a couple of things. First, it catches on fire because the metal uranium actually is flammable, and then it bursts into billions of tiny, tiny, tiny particles. Those particles are called uranium oxide, and those are the problem, and those are what kills.
So this stuff literally, when it hits an enemy tank or something, it explodes and it's combustible.
Oh, absolutely.
And then all of a sudden you have the leftover fumes, for a lack of a scientific explanation, and people breathe that, not only the enemy, but I guess the civilians around, and our troops.
Oh, for sure. But, of course, nobody tells our troopers about the uranium oxide. The New York Daily News just did a series of stories on some troopers from New York who just got back from Iraq.
Yeah, I think they were in the reserves. They've been in the National Guard. They're firemen
or
something.
They have radiation poisoning.
And this, I mean, this developed not 4 or 5 years later like the last Gulf War. I mean, this happened pretty fast, within a year. I noticed where Newsday out in Long Island's on that story now, too, today. And so that story's not going to go away, I don't think. It shouldn't.
It does appear that it's going to go away. And, of course, two of the powerful senators in the United States Senate are from New York. And you can bet that whenever Newsday and New York Daily News get on something like these people are, I mean, they're on it, that...
Well, how much of the stuff did we use in Iraq?
Oh, that's just to blow your mind. Yeah, can you imagine 4 million pounds of...
4 million pounds.
We're talking 4 million pounds. And, of course, today it went up a little bit.
Yeah, as we talked at the top of the show, where, you know, it's an unbelievable action that's going over there right now, and... This is not only harmful to the civilians, but it's also harmful to our troops, because they're around that and they breathe this stuff. Have there been any studies that the military, have they done anything about this? I mean, are there some things they've covered up? I mean, surely they knew this was a problem.
They've known it since 1943. And, of course, they had that committee meeting in 1980 where they decided that our troopers' lives and health did not matter, and so they would proceed and use this stuff. Yeah, we've known it all along. So the Pentagon, these people amaze me. These people absolutely amaze me. They have something as common and ordinary as uranium, which everybody in the country knows about. I mean, the things you learned in high school about this are true. It is bad, especially when you breathe it, or when it goes into your mouth and you just it.
And we make sure they breathe it because it's combustible. And it's into the air.
There's 4 million, you know, that dust cloud over Baghdad, it's radioactive.
You know, I've heard other people say that, too. That's just scary, just thinking about it.
Can you imagine actually being on that committee and sitting there thinking to yourself, these people are insane. They want to use the radioactive metal for bullets, bombs, and shells, and it will absolutely harm, maim, and kill our own troopers. I mean, this is not something you grow out of. It's with you permanently. Just think, you have your own personal internal radiation source. It's kind of like a watch. You know those watches you listen to glow?
Yes.
You're glowing inside your lungs there.
You know, that's unconscionable if you stop and think about it. And nobody in this country seems to be up in arms about it. Now maybe that it's becoming to get out with people like you who are out there, Bob Nichols, talking about it, and the New York newspapers now talking about it. Maybe people will, you know, become aware. I mean, there's a history of this stuff. It goes back a while, right? From 1980 on, in Iraq alone, we've used radioactive munitions quite a lot.
It kind of means the poor man's way to a nuclear.
Navy.
He actually sat down and figured out how much, I mean, you won't believe this. This is just unbelievable. He picked the worst example imaginable for the rest of the world. The whole world knows about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In the United States, at the end of World War II, for those of you who don't know this, we dropped atomic and hydrogen bombs on Japan and the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's what he used as the example of the amount of radiation that is in Iraq. He used the equivalent. It's the equivalent of so many unexploded Nagasaki hydrogen bombs. And the number is just phenomenal. I mean, it's huge. It is, it's one of those things where Americans want to say, that can't be true. But unfortunately, the numbers for the amount of radiation, they just were.
They had 4 million pounds of the stuff already before this last. You know, there's going to be another 1 million pounds probably because it's not going to lighten up in Iraq. It's going to really get worse, I'm afraid to say, simply because of the weather, if nothing else, for the next couple of months. It's not going to be that bad. Then you're going to have the hot, blazing temperatures of the summer, and then our troops are there in fatigues and battle gear, and they're going to lose their tempers. It's going to get unbelievably wild over there, unfortunately. And we should never have been there to begin with. I mean, anybody could see that there was no way out of this thing once you started. The thing I think about it that makes it worse than Vietnam, even though I think it's going to be bigger than Vietnam for George Bush, I think it is his Vietnam. The thing I see that's bad about it is at least in South Vietnam we had a pretense of another country inviting us in. We didn't do that in Iraq. We just went over there and conquered it.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's been a good... There's these treaties, you know, come and go in international law. And if you can believe it, a treaty called the Treaty of Westphalia, which is someplace in Europe, that doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. It was in 1648 when all the little countries, they all signed up and said they were not going to attack each other first. And, of course, that's what we did. We broke a 400-year-old treaty to go and attack
Iraq.
We
could spend a lot of time on the insanity of the first strike philosophy. I mean, obviously it's already been discounted because just look at the history for the last year. But I want to acquaint the people in America with this fact, and around the world. We're heard around the world as well. We're heard in London, England on Pioneer Radio and a few other places as well.
Well, then let's tell the folks how many Nagasaki H-bombs, the radiation, the 4 million pounds of uranium is equal to. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
250,000 bombs. H-bombs that were dropped on.
So you're saying a 250,000 bombs the size of Nagasaki and Hiroshima is the equivalent.
250,000 type bombs are the equivalent to the amount of radiation dumped on Iraq through this 4 million pounds of uranium, and it can do nothing but go up. And I ask you, who would do this kind of thing? And of course the answer to my own question is that we're the only country in the world that has ever used uranium munition.
Now, we used this in the first Gulf War, and there has been a high incidence of cancer and related things occurring to the Iraqi people, I think, over the last decade.
Cancer and birth defects are just multiplying. multiplied 10 and 12 and 20 times.
And this last year has been the mother of all Iraqi wars. So, my goodness. I mean, this is unconscionable. What can be done about it? Do you have any ideas? What can we, as listeners, Bob Nichols, what's the...
That's what I said at the end of the article. If you'll check jerrypippin.com website for the article, what I ask at the end of the article that has been out around the world now for about 10 days was, I said, well, we have not done the right things to stop this. Our country is using these weapons. Many of us don't want our country to do it. All of us who know about the Iranians don't want our country to do it. And so I asked, what do y'all think we could do? And the responses back from people in the United States and around the world have been pretty good. One, for example, says that former President Jimmy Carter is the nuclear physicist. He knows about this stuff. Why doesn't he get on board? Or get some high-profile ex-military person to write a book with all of us who could participate as co-authors. Things to bring it to a higher profile.
Well, we're going to try to do that ourselves here as well. We're just a little fish in a big pond when it comes to all the media in the world. But what we're going to do is have you back here in a couple of weeks or so. I'm going to invite people that hear this interview 24/7 on our website and on the radio to send us emails, and maybe you can answer some of them. In fact, I got an email that somebody sent you here. It says, thanks for your efforts. Hope your numbers are right. Thanks again. And you're pretty sure your numbers are right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the numbers have been checked by experts all around the world. Of course they're right.
Well, you know, when we talk about these things, it's just amazing to me that we've been doing this for a long time. And you would think that the powers that be in the artillery section of the Army and the Navy would be belling.
You know, after several doctors and physicists, health physicists, who were in the Army, one of them actually went over to Iraq and was supposed to clean up the mess there of the tanks and everything. His whole team got radiation poisoning, and half of them are dead. That's Doug Rock, R-O-K-K-E. You can do a Google on him, a search on him, and you can look him up through Jerry Tippin's website.
Yeah, you're right. I'd like to thank Michael Sterling for that last email we read as well.
Yes, that's where, this is the first time that he actually created a T-shirt that it has the impertinent information and a good graphic on it at Cafe Press. .com. You look for Mindspring. And I want to thank Jerry for letting me get that plug in for an independent effort that it just sprung up overnight.
Did he send you the T-shirt?
I had to buy one.
and we're giving him a plug?
And we're giving him a plug.
What's on that T-shirt?
Oh, there, Jerry, there's a picture of Iraq, like a map of Iraq.
Is it glowing in the dark?
And it says, mission accomplished. And then on the back, it has 4 million pounds of uranium dumped on Iraq. The same as 250,000.
I talked to one of our producers about this interview, and he's pretty cynical. And he said, why, it's just a way for them to get rid of the nuclear waste.
You know, I had that thought, too. They got 77,000 tons of this stuff just sitting there ready to go at the different atomic reactors or waste creator plants in the country. And that's the thought that I had. The 1980 was when they were trying to figure out first what to do with this stuff. And they said, well, maybe they just said, hey, let's just shoot little brown people with this, or let's shoot people in South America with this, or let's shoot people in Asia. Maybe that's the way they decided they could take care of it.
You know, on the surface, that sounds far-fetched, but the more we deal into these things, it's not so far-fetched, unfortunately, Bob Nichols.
Well, you know, the thing I just can't get behind is how they can bring themselves to say, this is okay, and our own troops are the ones who are going to pay the price first, and they think that's okay. I would like to see every one of these people in prison. prison or whatever the crime is that they have committed that pay the price for it.
Talking with Bob Nichols, he's on the line from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, fellow Okie, and note that, Bob, you were born in McAllister, right? Now, there's a munitions plant down there.
You betcha.
I guess they deal in this stuff.
I've been in it, and that's where all the bombs for Iraq come from.
So they're putting it in not about 70 miles from where I am, about 120 or so from where you are, every day.
Every day. And all the bombs from Iraq actually come from Oklahoma. They come from McAllister, Oklahoma.
Amazing. Well, Bob, we're going to ramp it up for this time. But
I want to thank you so much for bringing this to airing this and bringing this issue to light for the American people and the people of the world.
Well, toward the end of April, we're going to bring you back, and we'll encourage people to send us your questions at jerry@jerrypippin.com, and we'll go over that, and we'll probably have, I have a hunch we'll have some new things to talk about in a couple of weeks, because I think this thing's not going to go away.